Don't you like a guarantee? I like guarantees, okay? So let's look at some guarantee today. It says this in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. While the earth remains. Now, there's a few things I want to say here that you've heard before, but I believe it bears repeating, and that is this. If you have no seed, you are guaranteed there will be no harvest. Okay? There's no seed to sow, you're guaranteed you'll have no harvest. Period. I said you're guaranteed. All right? The next thing is, if you have seed, that does not guarantee that you'll have harvest. And again, I say that because you can have a seed, but a seed not sown will guarantee no harvest. So just because you possess a seed doesn't guarantee you'll have a harvest. So we could say it this way, a seed not sown guarantees no harvest, just as having no seed guarantees no harvest. All right? So again, seed time and harvest, or we could say the kingdom law or principle, because some people don't like law, but it is a law nonetheless because the king has said it. And where the word of the king is, there's power. He has put into effect sowing and reaping. Yes. Sowing and reaping. Yes. Sowing and reaping. All right? Sowing and reaping. Are you with me? Yes. There's a kingdom principle of sowing and reaping. All right? Now, we're using some agricultural terms per se, but we'll see that this is not limited to agriculture. All right? So the next thing we pointed out, which is good, is seed is the potential of a thing, which means once the seed is actually sown, now what's contained within it can actually show up. If you do not sow the seed, what's in it has no capacity to show up. You must do this. Amen? This must take place. So seeds are always a process. I said it's always a process, okay? There's a process when it comes to seed. Now, here's the thing. Just to let you know, God sowed his son. Amen? And I want to remind you that Pastor Roddy Schaefer ministered in our Kingdom Rise conference along these lines when he talked about the king kind. That God sowed a king in order to reap a king. Amen? Do you remember that? So Jesus has to die because the seed, when it's sown, will die. And when it dies, it will release its potential. When Jesus died, it released the potential for us to become children of God. And not just children. We're not the broke down children. We're not the sorry children. We're not the left to the side children. We're not the, again, and I'm not trying to be offensive, but, you know, you've heard this terminology, redheaded stepchild. I have a redheaded child, so I can say this. Okay? Those terms that are derogatory about, you know, I'm just not the good one of the family, the one set aside. There is no kind like that in the kingdom of God. Because when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you became the king kind. Now, whether you believe that in your mind and exercise it, that's on you. Because again, there's going to be nothing worse when you stand before Jesus one day and say, he says you didn't live up to your potential. That motivates me more than anything. I was just talking to my wife recently. I said, there's just some things I sense I want to continue. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to leave my potential here. I want it all to come out. And you understand, you do good through life and you bear fruit and you're doing stuff. But every time you bear fruit, God will come and clip those limbs off so you can bear more fruit. Trimming's coming. You're getting cut, period, whether you're doing nothing or doing something. It's coming. It's happening. So just deal with the pain and go on. Let him fix something. Let him say, now let's adjust this so you can get more fruit, but you got to move to that process, okay? So we see here that Jesus sowed himself. He died, and as a result, now he can produce the fruit of others. He sowed himself in order to reap us. And is he still reaping people today? Yes, he is. People are still getting born again today. People are still coming to the kingdom today. And again, Jesus did not die to save you from hell. That was not his purpose. So when we preach that as priority, we are not giving the most correct lens of the gospel. You hear what I'm saying? He died so that you could become a child of God. He did not die to take you to heaven. He died so you could become a child of God, so you could become a king kind, so that you could become the king, a king of the king. Yeah. Amen? And you can operate in that position and that position. Let's just say it, keep it there. That place while on the earth. You don't have to wait to go to heaven. Right. Amen. You can pull that authority here, okay? So with that being said, turn over to Galatians chapter 6. Because this principle of sowing and reaping is very important. And a lot of times we utilize sowing and reaping around offering. And there is, you know, a truth to that. But again, it's a principle that applies to everything. Okay? And we want to look at this. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, it says this, do not be, so what does that tell us right out the gate? You can be. Now, deceive means you think it's a way, and you think you're right, but you're actually wrong. Okay? So, he has to, Paul, writing to the church. Now, he's not talking to lost people. Right? So, well, lost people get deceived. No, believers can be deceived. I said believers can be deceived. All right? It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. This word mocks means to turn your nose up. You turn your nose up. God shows up and you're like, You hear what I'm saying? God shows up in the room and you go, Have you ever seen somebody do that? Right? It just kind of. And turn away. You say, well, if Jesus showed up here, I wouldn't do that. Do you know what? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Every time the Holy Ghost shows up in your inner man and speaks to your heart and says, do this. This is what the king says. And you go, I ain't doing that. Now, you didn't do it physically so someone saw it, but spiritually speaking, you stuck your nose up to the leading of the Spirit. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. So a mocking of God is not demonstrated by someone just not showing up to church. A mocking of God is not just someone who decides to not read the word. A mocking of God can be someone right here today that the Lord says, go ahead and lift your hands up. And you don't. You went, Okay. I'm just saying, now you, this is, you got to identify this. I don't know what's going on, but you know what's going on. And let me tell you this. I know that I know that I know that you know what's going on. I know. Why do I know this? Because there's only one cure for deception, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God cures deception. So God would have to give you the Word clear enough so that you will recognize it. Now, whether you choose to do it or not, you will. God, when he makes account of these things, he knows that you knew and you chose not. Because if you're like, but deceive means I think I'm right, and how would I know that I'm not doing right? Because, you know, we can get to this perpetual rabbit hole, so to speak. You know, because if people are deceived, they think they're right now, but they think they're right. And you said that they think they're right. I know, they do think they're right. But they think they're right based upon them making a conscious choice that when God reveals another way, they choose still not to do it. See, you cannot, no one will ever stand before Jesus Christ one day and say, you can't hold me accountable for my wrongdoing because I was deceived. Right. If that was true, then Eve should have never had a problem. Because Eve told the truth when God came into the garden and said, Adam, what have you done? He's like, it's your fault, God. You gave me that woman and I ate it. He blamed God, right? He didn't take personal responsibility. He goes to Eve and says, Eve, what have you done? She says, the enemy deceived me. He told me something that I chose over you to believe as right, and I convinced myself it was right, so I was deceived and I ate the fruit. She told truth. Because later on, if you get over into the New Testament, the Bible tells us that he talks about Eve and says Eve was deceived. By the Holy Ghost, through another writer, confirms she was deceived. But was she still held accountable for it? Yes, she was. Absolutely. Okay? So this lets us know then that God is a revealer. That's why the Bible says don't quench the Spirit. Most of the time when we read that, people take it in context. That is like the Holy Ghost is moving through the gifts and people quench the Spirit. Well, that can happen like that, but that's not what God's saying. What he's saying is when he turns the light on, when he illuminates you, when in essence, if you actually quench means in order to quench something, you first have to have something illuminated. So if I had a match and I struck it, it would be lit. Then I would quench it by blowing it out. It actually illuminates first. You can't quench something that has not been illuminated. So when people say, well, you know, if we don't come in right, then we'll just quench the Spirit. You can't quench a Spirit that hadn't actually revealed something. If he's not revealed, then you don't have nothing to quench. But the minute he reveals something, now you can quench. And many people, a lot of times, honestly, we've all done this, that the Holy Ghost would reveal something to us, whether it's a correction in our lives, whether it's a way to respond to someone, whether it's a way to do something, and we end up quenching it by reason.
Yeah, that's right.
We reason it out.
Yeah.
And basically, we quench it. And when we reason it out, we are basically doing this.
Right.
We're mocking God. And he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows. And again, I'm telling you today, we're not talking about lost people. This is a letter to the church. The kingdom principle of sowing and reaping applies to believers. It applies to believers, not just the world. He goes on and says, whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Now, you ought to shout about that. Because there's a guarantee. This is a guarantee. God just clued me in that if I'll walk according to his word and never snub my nose to the Spirit's revealing of how to live, then I'm guaranteed that if I sow to that, I'll reap of that.
Yes.
He goes on and says it this way. He says, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap what? Now, when we say sow to the flesh, literally what we're saying here is, when one chooses to make a choice that they believe personally benefits them. Their decision making is all about personal benefit at the expense of following God. Are you with me? And when you do that, you will reap what? What will you reap? This does not mean the devil has come after you. There are, and again, only being trained in righteousness, can you at times determine in a person's life of whether the enemy is after them and brought an attack or whether they're just reaping what they've sown and the devil wasn't there. Hallelujah. Amen. See, some of the problems that we have in life aren't from the enemy. Now, I understand he's still a part of the process because he's planting thoughts in your mind. But you understand, most people are in destruction and messed up lives, not because the devil, but because they are reaping it. You understand, the devil has an order in his domain. The devil just doesn't go after anybody. Think about this now. Where in the Word do you hear about the devil himself? We know in Isaiah 14, he's there. Who's he go after? God. Tries to take his throne. We know that he shows up with Job. Right? Who else does he show up with? Jesus. There's only two other individuals off the top of my head right now that I know he's affecting, and that was Judas, and it'd be the Antichrist. Okay? Notice, he shows up to try to affect the people's lives who are living the most righteous at the time. God is the most righteous. He is righteousness. Job was the most righteous man on the planet at the time. Was he personally showing up for people who were struggling in their flesh? Nope. Nope. He has plenty of his other, you know, imps and demons and, you know, wicked spirits, evil spirits, unclean spirits. They can handle that stuff. He don't have time for people who can't control themselves. So most of the people who are saying, you know, the devil's after me, he probably ain't even taking you into consideration. You've not even shown up on his radar. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus, he came after. Why? He was the most righteous man on the planet. Now, he'll affect someone who's living horrible to try to destroy God's work, like Judas. And he'll do it with the Antichrist, of which we know neither one of those are good examples. Judas kills himself, and we know the Antichrist is going to get whipped when Jesus puts his foot down. It won't even be a battle. Woo! I mean, not that there won't be a battle. There will be a battle, but it won't be a battle. You hear what I'm saying? Okay. So I just want you to know that you need to examine your life, and when there's a challenge and it seems like death and destruction's coming, you might want to stop and say, have I sown for this? Now, I love this. Why? Because this tells me, not God, but I have some control over my life. And if I will walk in that fruit that God gave me by the Holy Ghost called self-control, then I can go to the next one, and it says, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from where? The Spirit reap eternal life. Will reap eternal life. Hallelujah. So that tells me then, this verse tells me that my condition of living while on planet Earth is specifically predicated on my capacity to either sow to the flesh or to the Spirit. It's on me. I said it's on me. I said it's on me. Man, and if I can get a guarantee of a Spirit reaping. Now, there's many opportunities in life to sow to the flesh. Are you with me? Many opportunities to sow. But in that moment, if I choose, when the Holy Ghost says, do it this way, and I do it that way, even though the condition that's surrounding me may still be there, I can come out in life because I'm sowing to the right side. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Amen. And notice, God is not mocked. What's that mean? God knows where you sow. I said, God knows where you sow. God knows where you sow. He's not mocked. You can't turn your nose, nor can you sow to the flesh and convince God you were sowing to the Spirit. Amen. Pharisees were good at that. The Pharisees were doing Scripture, but their heart was never connected to it. Amen. I'll preach this, I think, next year. There's righteousness, there's unrighteousness, and there's another word called self-righteousness. And self-righteousness is the same as unrighteousness. Amen? That's doing what God's word says, but not having the heart to do it. That's why the Lord said about the Pharisees, do what they say, but don't do what they do. But what were they doing? They were actually doing the word. Because he said, you tithe. On me, you are doing exactly what the law said, but the problem is your heart's not there. So the reason why, because mercy and justice, none of that's there. So even though you're telling people what to do and you are doing it according to the letter of the law, the atmosphere of your heart is manifesting and it's evil. That's why I said, do what they say, but don't do what they do, meaning don't do it in the heart they do it in. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. No, you have to be willing and obedient. You have to say, I'm totally submitted. I love to do this. God has illuminated. This is how I should respond, and I'm on it 100%. Amen. I have changed my thinking. I have cast down that thought. I'm doing it God's way, and I love that I'm doing it His way. Because I don't want to be a disappointment to Him, and I sure don't want to be far away from Him, and His word is life, and where would I go without Him? So now that you've asked me to do this, I'm surely going to respond that way. And I know that in myself I can't, but if I'll step out and do, you'll anoint me in that moment to make that spiritual response show up. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 17 to 21 says it this way, and this is just showing some context of this, so reap. The merciful man does himself good, but the cruel man does himself harm. Why would a merciful man do himself good? Because when he sows mercy, guess what he'll get? If a cruel man, when he sows, what does he get? The wicked earns deceptive ways. Why does he earn them? Because he sowed for them. But he who sows what? Righteousness gets the true reward. You know, there's a reward for being righteous. Amen. Verse 21, 19, he who is steadfast in righteousness will attain to life. And he who pursues evil will bring about his what? Own death. Sowing and reaping. To preserve, persevere in heart are an the perverse in heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their walk are his delight. So reap. Verse 21, assuredly, the evil man will not go unpunished. Why? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sow, that he'll reap. Now, here's the thing. What does the devil do to try to get you to sow to the flesh? He lets you experience an evil man's life in their prosperity, their seemingly rest, their seemingly carefree life, their seemingly they got everything. Yet the Bible guarantees that that man will not go unpunished. Right. But the descendants of the righteous, whoo, will be what? This is why I say all the time, no matter what you're going through, you better be the righteous one. Because God is not obligated to deliver you if you're not. In fact, He won't. Now, you may say, but we're in the new covenant. And we're the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, you understand, righteous people can do unrighteous things. Because as a believer, new covenant, you can sow to the flesh. Now, that does not mean your spirit man is cut off from God, and because you're sowing to the flesh, you're going to hell now and you're going to lose your salvation. It doesn't mean that. But you can be a believer of the king kind and reap a poverty life in every aspect of your life, and then stand before Jesus one day, and He'll let you see of all the potential you never released. Hallelujah. We don't want to stand before the Lord one day and say, but Lord, if you would have. And He says, really? It was in you the whole time. I put it all in you. I just needed you to sow to it. I needed you to sow to it. I needed you to sow to it. But you didn't sow to it. You sow to the flesh, so you got it.
That's right.
Amen? And so in life, trouble, issues, things came because the enemy's still out there to kill, steal, and destroy. You understand? He's not impressed that you're born again.
Right.
Jesus never sinned and He went after Him. Okay? He's not showing up for you who's not developed any spiritual maturity because you'll take yourself out. I'm just being honest. An unrenewed mind. Pastor Mark posted something on Instagram. He said how did he say that? Somebody pull up his Instagram account, the Anchor Bay Church Valdosta one. Somebody, the greatest trouble or problem to a believer is an unruled mind. So that's good, Pastor Mark. That's good. Amen. Y'all find it yet? Y'all looking. Looking. The greatest threat, that's what it was. The greatest threat in a believer's life is an unruled mind.
Yes.
Pastor Marcy went through a series not too long ago called Engrafted.
Right.
You're born again, you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. The question is, are you sowing the righteousness you've been made so it will manifest in life?
Right.
If you're not, through renewing your mind, You can sow still to the flesh, although inside you is full potential to have a different life. And it's not God's fault. I said it's not God's fault.
Right.
Amen? So let's do what we've been made. Amen? Romans chapter 10, 2, verse 6 through 10. Again, just build scripture that this is a press one. I'm going back to New Testament. You know, that way you understand this is a New Testament, the age of the church, the dispensation of grace, principle that's in effect. Romans 2, 6 through 10. Who will render to each person according to his deeds? To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. Now, again, we think that we're only talking about, in these contexts, people who aren't born again. But the reality is a believer can not obey God, even though they're a child of God, and in essence, get into the kingdom yet as by fire or smoke. Or, you know, you're born again, but all the rewards when he puts out your life, is it wood, hay, and stubble, or will it be gold and silver? Because when he puts the fire to your life at the judgment seat, what will remain? And it's according to your deeds. Your ability to sow to the Spirit, or are you sowing to the flesh? Verse 9, there will be tribulation and distress, right? For every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and of also the Greek, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What is this? Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. I want to show you some things here concerning sowing and reaping again. Now, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, we usually use this passage of scripture again in the realm of finance, and it is in context talking about money. But this scripture itself is like an algebraic equation. This is the X factor. Because he who sows sparingly, whatever he's sowing, will reap it that way. Meaning sparingly is an attitude. It's not an amount. So if it's difficult for you to sow to the Spirit, then it's going to be difficult to reap from the Spirit. Because if it's easy for you to sow to the flesh, then you'll reap of the flesh pretty quick. Now, if you reverse that, if it's difficult for you to sow to the flesh, it'd be hard for the flesh to show up. But in either case, attitude will have a reaping. If it's tough for you to do it, then it's tough to get back, whatever. So if you have the mindset of a believer, well, I can't help it. I'm just a sorry sinner saved by grace, man. You know, we all sin. We just do it. Guess what? Then it's easy for you to sow to your flesh. You let it go. That's why fleshly things keep showing up. It seems like your life's always in chaos. But if you'll be like, you know what? I'm dead to those things. So what's a sparingly reaping to the flesh? Well, a situation happens, and you could, but you begin to start to retract and resist. Amen. So now it's hard for death and destruction to start showing up at your door because you're not sowing to it. You got to kind of imagine yourself this way. I have two fields in my life. I got a flesh field and I got a spirit field. Now, how many acres do you want to dedicate to sowing to the flesh, and how many acres you want to dedicate sowing to the Spirit? Now, in life, again, I do blow it. I've made some mistakes. So I cannot tell you I don't have a flesh field. I do have one. It's just in very big acres. I mean, it's small. It may not even be an acre anymore. It's like partial. It's like small, right? I mean, it may be like on a balcony type stuff, right? I mean, I might be able to contain it in a box, but it's still there. Because the Bible tells me my spirit, my flesh battle daily, according to Galatians chapter 5. So I can't get rid of the field, but I can determine the size of it. I can. Amen. So, but I got this spirit field that I am sowing to. Right? And so every once in a while, if I don't watch out and don't pay attention, I can start reaping out of the flesh field. Because if there's something in it and it's growing, it's going to manifest. So I got to pay attention to both fields. No matter how, I can't say, well, it's just a window box. You know, I got some things in it, but you know, it's not a real big deal. I'm telling you, if you don't take care of it, it eventually break out of a window box field into a regular field, into a big field. You got to deal with both fields. But I want mine to increase. Have you ever played those little games? Back in the day, there was one called like Farm something. You create like a farm, you get bigger farm. Any of y'all played that game back in the day? You know, well, I mean, a lot of y'all are doing it even now. You know, the little world conquering games where you conquer more territory, right? You know, you get bigger and bigger territory, right? Risk is a game. Now, that's really old school, right? But again, it's about taking territory. I'm telling you right now, you're taking territory either in the spirit or in the flesh. And you can control it. Now, when you were lost, you only had one field. You had a flesh field. But the minute you got born again, you got a new field. And through my growth and development with God, I've learned to how to cultivate and get a bigger spirit field than I have a flesh field. I started selling that off. And that's when I said, you can take that back. You know, I don't own that anymore. Amen. And the devil's always trying to get me to buy into his field. And it's free. I mean, he'd give it away. But Jesus said, no, I'll give you a better field. Amen. That I paid for. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So we see here that how our attitude towards sowing will determine how we reap in that particular aspect of sowing and reaping. Okay. So let me give you this scripture, and then I'll give you some testimony. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 11. It says, if we sow spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? Now, the reason I pulled this scripture is because I want you to understand, sowing and reaping is a spiritual principle. It does not mean that it's limited in this context, that in a natural sense, if I sow a seed that is corn, what am I going to reap? Corn. If I sow a seed that is an orange seed, what am I going to reap? Right? I'm going to reap a crop of a cornfield, because eventually you understand I can have one has more corn. I keep it. I build my field. You understand? That's how that multiplies. Because really a seed is an orchard. Yeah. It's a field. Right. And it grows. Right. You always get back way more than what you put in. Right. See, and that's the thing about sowing and reaping. If you sow a little to the flesh, when you reap, you don't reap that one thing back. Yeah. You grow a plant, and you get a lot of fruit. Well, I mean, I was just offended once. Right? Well, I mean, I just was unforgiving once. You know? Well, you know, I just withheld my offering once. Right? Well, you know, I just had an outburst of anger once. Well, you're not going to get one outburst back. I seem like everybody's mad and ticked off at me all the time. Well, you got a plant somewhere that's producing that fruit. Are you with me? Okay. But you got to also understand this about principle. So you can sow something, yet it reap not exactly that which was sown. Here, a spiritual principle, meaning I taught you the word that you could put into practice, which caused a natural thing to happen, that is it too much now that I'm going about Paul, going about ministering spiritual truths, that you would naturally help me continue to do so. So my spiritual sowing of revelation, so that the Holy Ghost made it come alive in you through the gift of the apostle, through the gift of the prophet, through the gift of the teacher, right, towards you, that opened up you to be able to mature, then is it too much that you could sow a natural thing to me because you're not sowing back to me a spiritual truth? You hear what I'm saying? So there are some things you can sow that come out in a different form, but here's the connection. It is directly related to the sowing. Are you with me? I have been in this principle ever since I saw it. And Rhema helped bring this principle out to me. help bring it out. Now, I was operating in it to a level without knowledge. You hear what I'm saying? So basically, I was like a sower that was scattering, meaning it's going to hit some good ground, but I'm not getting it defined. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Once I learned it, then I knew how I could get that into the field correctly. So I'll give you a demonstration of some of my reaping of my sowing. Okay? I realized, according to the word, that the Bible says that if you're faithful with little, you'll be faithful with much. And if you're faithful with another man's, which means a vision that God has given someone, and you attach yourself through full submission to carry out your part to help that vision come to pass that came through that individual. And I began that application prior to Rhema, didn't realize I was doing it, but then once I got to Rhema, realized it was there and began to sow my life into ministry. Being paid was irrelevant. Because again, I have a formula that is guaranteed that if I sow this with all my heart to the Spirit in love, I'm going to reap it. So I began to engage in the ministry, do exactly what they asked with all my heart, with excitement. I did not complain about it. So when my wife and I are learning a script every week to teach children, we weren't complaining about my work schedule. I wasn't complaining about my third shift job and going to school. I can't believe they've given me another script I got to learn. No, it was opportunity. So in the ministry. And I sowed to that. Then when God told me I wasn't ready to pioneer a church or start one, he said, you need to go get on staff somewhere. It gave me another opportunity to sow spiritual seed in ministry. So I went to Pastor David Emi. That's where he assigned me. And I became his vision. His vision is go to Sand Springs, Oklahoma, raise up a New Testament church, and from there you'll touch the world. Why is it in my memory? Because that was the vision. And everything he wanted me to do with youth, I did except establish a bus route. Never got that one accomplished because God moved me on to start this work because I had passed my test. But I was faithful, and I pursued, and I was passionate, and I did it. And man, if you saw me, you saw the youth ministry of Word of Life Fellowship. You've seen it. I was identified as that. They didn't even know my name. Oh, that's the youth pastor of the depot, the youth ministry of Word of Life Fellowship. Amen. So it's not odd that when God moved me here, he sent people with me. Amen. See, right now, church pioneering is telling people you need to take a team. You know what? You can take a team without sowing for a team. But what kind of team are you getting? I did not have to beg for a team. I did not have to look for the team. I didn't even look for them. I just went back to individuals that said, I could see myself doing ministry, and I had no guarantee they would come, nor had an intent, I need you to be there. In fact, my presentation was always, here's the vision. At minimum, would you pray? That was really it. Just pray. I wasn't even asking them to come. In fact, when they started saying they would come, I was actually shocked. And then would say this, don't come because of me. Don't come because I'm here, because of my personality, because you like me. Because I'm going to tell you right now, to do a vision of God, you're going to have challenges. So you need to know you heard God to come so that you'll be dedicated to the vision. Because who do I want? I want what I sowed. People passionate about the vision. And I have reaped those individuals. And when I tell other pastors today about people that have been with us from the beginning, they are shocked. But it isn't because I did something miraculous. I pay a huge salary, and how could they leave? No, most all of them came without the money and did it for 5 years without any income. What were they sowing for? I'm sowing that the word says my gift will make room for me, and I'm coming to this vision that I'm reaping of what I sowed, and as they sowed into this field, as I sowed into another field, 5 years later, they got to get into the ministry full-time, and from there, there's been continual increase through the years. And what we wouldn't do at times of our seasons of ministry that we couldn't do financially for our staff, God did in other ways. Giving them cars, paying off debt, all kinds of stuff taking place. Come on, are you with me? But none of those things would happen without sowing. We're not lucky people. You know, you hear what I'm saying? I'm not a lucky person. This isn't luck here. This isn't, oh, I have faith. I have favor because I sowed to it. Amen. So I expect. This is why I have older ministers come. Because one day I'll be older. And I believe my gift shouldn't be forgotten. Amen. So if I'm going to minister in later years, it's because I sowed to a minister when he was in later years. This is intentional. No different than if I want an older minister to ask me to come minister somewhere because of the word in me, I can't expect that any of that ever to take place if I don't sow to a younger minister. Someone younger than me to get into this pulpit. That's why Kenneth Estrada was easy. That's why it's easy to bring my staff up. You know, again, I can't expect my staff to be all that they can be unless I sow them to you and develop their gift. Everything in life, I am asking the question, how is this, how will I reap from this, from my spiritual field? My mom, as you've been praying for, she's obviously gotten up. She'll be 75 next month on the 26th of January, okay? Now, I know the word, and I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But I can tell you right now, I wouldn't want my kids to forget me. I wouldn't want them to be impatient with me. So I tell my mom, Mom, you're not a burden. It's okay. I love being here. You gave birth to me. You raised me. You've sown for me to be here. How could you not reap me? But now I'm going to sow into you at this age, because when I get older, if for some reason my kids needed to tend to something in my life, it isn't because I just have great kids. It's because I'm sowing for it. Do I want people to be friendly to me? I sow being friendly. If I want people to be patient with me, I sow patience. And you guys know I've been sowing some patience. But now here's the thing. The ministry gift that I'm operating in, the number one sign of that gift is patience. It's the number one sign that that gift is in operation is the ability to have extreme patience in difficult times, in difficult moments. But I sow to it. You hear what I'm saying? See, there's all these things. Financially, where I'm at today is because I've sowed to it. I've sowed to it. I can't stop increase. Now, here's the thing. I'm talking all the spirit side. Guys, you can get where you sow. It's a law. And have you ever been around people that their life's in trouble? Things are going horrible. Things are going bad. And then they want you to show mercy in their life. Well, you know, I've been showing mercy. Or maybe we've demonstrated mercy for years. But the reality is maybe you're in a place now that I cannot violate a spiritual law. Hallelujah. The Lord would say this morning to you, if you'll dig up your flesh field and start sowing to your spirit field, then you'll reap of the spirit and you can cut off things of the flesh. Here's the thing. If your flesh field is big, You can have plants in it that have yet to bear fruit. But if you start pulling them out, which you can, if it's that big, you still may reap before you can get them all dug out. Now, what do I mean by that? If a man lusts after a woman in his heart, he's committed the sin of adultery. Sin's there. But he's not actually physically slept with her. So the consequences of that person's life is that I've sinned, but I've not done something that my spouse has a right, according to Scripture, to separate from me and leave me. But if that same man lusts after in his heart and then acts on it and actually sleeps with someone else, now he's given the spouse the ability to say you've broken covenant because you physically acted on the thought. It went beyond an unseen to a seen, and I have a righteous position to step out of the covenant. Which means now they may reap a consequence that wasn't in the first one.
Right.
Now, if that same man who lusted after a woman in their own heart slept with that individual, and then that individual got pregnant. See what I'm saying? There's a progression of sowing here that has different fruits associated with it.
Right.
Now she's pregnant. You've committed adultery and you've gotten the woman pregnant. Now you can add to your sin and abort the child. Or the child's born and you're responsible for the next 18 years or more. More consequence. You can't stop it. It's not like I can say, oh, you know what? I'm just going to forgive you. Let's act like it didn't happen. How can I act like it didn't happen? Look at me. I'm 9 months. How am I supposed to pretend it's not there?
Right.
See, if we sow to the flesh, we're like, let's act like it didn't happen.
Right.
Well, some things are running a course now. Because here's the thing. God can forgive you immediately.
Yes.
I'm not saying you're not forgiven. But I am saying that if you do this man wrong, now he may have to deal with a thought and you may reap of them not forgiving you. You may reap of them being aggravated. You're forgiven. You've asked them to forgive you. You're righteous before God. But yet, because of your action, this individual now has become a thorn in your flesh. And you can't stop that, but it is a result of your sowing. You hear what I'm saying? So some people want, if you've gone that far into the field, you're reaping. And I can't necessarily cut that off, but you can. How do you do it? Last scripture is this, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 36 to 37. Now, again, this is in context, literally in context of being resurrected from the dead and putting on a body that's of immortality. And he's saying you sow your body, you die, your body dies, and then you can reap a glorified body, okay? But, again, principle speaking, he says this, 1 Corinthians 15, 36 to 37, you fool, that which one sows does not come to life unless it what? Dies. Now, that's good news for us. Verse 37, and that which you sow, you do not sow the body to which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else. Again, making an example, when you drop the seed in, it's something contained within it, so you're sowing something to get something different in return, something transformed. But what do we want to look at? If you had an opportunity and you sowed to the flesh, meaning something happened in your life and you responded fleshly. Now you've sown it. But once a seed's in the ground, guess what? It's not yet able to produce if you get it out of the dirt fast enough. This is why repentance is so important. To repent quickly and to ask for forgiveness quickly. Why? Because I know I have a flesh flower pot. I'll leave it there. I do. I have a flower pot that's fleshly. And every once in a while, I'll sow a seed in it. But the minute I do, the Holy Ghost will say, that ain't right. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. And in that moment, I'm able to go over to that flesh pot and dig that seed out before it has a chance to die and develop roots. I'm guaranteed this. You know what kind of free life I live? What kind of free life you are supposed to live? Is that we are guaranteed when we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap of the Spirit. And we have the capacity because of the blood of Jesus to go over to our flesh field now and dig up seed when it shows up. Don't even let it die. I said, don't even let it die. I said, don't even let it die. I have come to find out in my life now that I am not, I spend more time in other people's fields. Meaning, I'm trying to weed yours. Because if I don't think about your life and I just look at mine, I'm like, wow, I'm blessed. I got a lot of things of the Spirit coming. A lot. I don't get offended because when it comes, I deal with it. I don't get unforgiven because, again, when I just look at our life, it's awesome. She loves the Lord. I love the Lord. She prays in the Spirit. I pray in the Spirit. She goes after God. I go after God. She takes control of her mind. I take control of my mind. If I was never around anybody, all I would do is reap of the flesh. I mean, of the Spirit. That's all I would ever reap. But yet, because we're in the business of helping people, we're having to go through their fields, and we have to make sure we don't pick up. That's why it says, ye who's spiritual, go restore your brother. Because you have the capacity to not pick up seeds from their flesh field and bring them over to yours. Hallelujah. So if you're living by the flesh, don't be helping people. Get your field under control. Let someone who has a large spiritual field of sowing to the Spirit help those that are struggling in the flesh. And when they call you, say, hey, all I can do is encourage you to go, to do this, because I'm dealing with my own field. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Guaranteed kind. If you sow mercy, guess what you'll get? If you sow forgiveness, guess what you'll get? If you sow finance, guess what you'll get? And if you'll do it in the Spirit, you'll get it. Even a lost person can sow finance and get it back. But they'll reap the attitude with it. So just because a man sows and gets wealth, it's a spiritual law. He'll reap the attitude that comes with it as well, though. So don't be deceived. If somebody's giving, because a lot of people have money and they give to charitable donations, they continue to get wealthy, and you're like, wow, they do. But they're getting the trouble associated with their wealth because they have trouble with their wealth as well. But when you sow to the Spirit with your wealth, you'll reap spiritual wealth back. The attitude, the provision with it, same thing, anything else. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you and we honor you. We thank you. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you for your love and for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you, Father God, that as we pick up this principle of sowing, that we'll always be diligent to sow to the Spirit, get in a spiritual field, and do it God's way. And we are guaranteed we'll reap of the Spirit life.